Well, you've made it. It's Christmas Eve. Can you believe that we're here already? Tomorrow is the big day, and it feels like December has gone quicker than ever. In fact, I think every year, for me, it seems like Christmas comes round quicker and quicker. I mean, maybe I'm just getting old, I don't know, but it always seems to come round quicker every year. But anyway, we're at Christmas Eve, one day to go, and you know, there's so many things that I love about Christmas Eve. Before I worked for the church, I was a store manager with Primark, and as you can imagine, December was a crazy month for me at work, and I would be working right through December up to and including Christmas Eve. And I love the challenge and the pressure and the buzz of being in retail at Christmas. It's so busy, so full of life, so fast moving. It's just great. But as much as I love that time, I always, during December or throughout December, I always had one eye on Christmas Eve, because there was something about that day that I knew that when I finished work on the 24th of December, I was going to be coming home to Lorraine and to the girls, and I would be spending the next 48 hours just being with them and enjoying being a family. As Lorraine's already said, though, this is a unique year for us, because this is the first year that we will get up on Christmas morning without any children in the house. So both our girls are married now, so this is a new season for us. So we've got some ups and downs with that, I guess. You know, I'm quite looking forward to the peace, I've got to be honest. But I'm actually going to miss the girls coming down and getting all excited about seeing their presents on the sofas. You know, we had two girls, two sofas, so they got a sofa each full of presents. But you know, it's going to be a unique Christmas, I think, for all of us, because this year has been unique. We've been starved of human contact, of human connection and community. And even though that we have an easing of the restrictions over the next few days, I'm certain that probably most of us, if not all of us, won't get to be with everyone that we'd want to see this Christmas. And of course, as we know right now, that we're not able to hold our annual carol service with our church and our family and our friends. At least we're not able to do it in person anyway. And you know, I love our carol services. It's a real highlight of the year for me. And there's a lot about the carol service that I am missing. I am really missing Ryan and the worship team leading us in Christmas worship in their own special and amazing way. I'm missing how joyful it is in the room on that night, where everyone is just in anticipation and celebrating the birth of Jesus. I miss the atmosphere, I miss the dim lighting, and those nights just, they just exude the fact that there's something special about celebrating the birth of Jesus. You know, when Jesus came, this was God coming into our world as a human being to live with us and once and for all settle the way to becoming in a full relationship with our Father God. But there's another thing that I love about our carol services, and I'm missing it this year. Our carol services are loud. We love our worship to be loud at Falkirk Vineyard, but the carol service always seems to take it up a notch. It feels like the dial goes from 10 to 11, doesn't it? It always seems to be full on. And it's not just the band that are loud, it's you lot as well. This is the night where we amazingly or miraculously seem to even up the volume level of our singing and our whooping and our clapping. You guys will be giving it large on some of the brilliant Christmas songs that we do, and we've got some absolutely brilliant, loud, celebratory songs that we do at Christmas that we've even been doing tonight. But we also, and amongst those celebratory, loud songs that we do at Christmas, we always have space for a couple of the traditional ones that are maybe done a bit more quietly and are a bit more reflective. And I was thinking about one of the traditional carols that we do most years, which is Silent Night. And you know the one, it was Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. And it gives a real kind of picture of a of a quiet, sedate, picture perfect event of Joseph and Mary and the baby in the stable, and all is calm and all is bright. But having read the Luke's version or Luke's narrative about the birth of Jesus recently, I wonder exactly how silent that night really was. When we read Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, he sets the scene for us by starting in a kind of general time frame. He opens in chapter 2, in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In those days." So it's talking about a period, a general period of time. It said, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." So we start reading this Christmas story hearing these words, and as we sit here in 2020, we probably picture like ancient times and an ancient world. You know, when we think about in those days, we are taken back to the age of Jerusalem under Roman occupation. And maybe we can, in our mind's eye, we're transported back to the little town of Bethlehem, where there's no room at the end. But as we read on in Luke chapter 2, suddenly we're no longer in a general time. It's no longer in those days or in a time long ago. Luke then starts to focus on a very specific night, a holy night, a special night. He talks about the night. In verse 6 and 7 of Luke 2, he says this: "The time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger." So from this general scene of in those times, as he described it, we zoom right in on a specific location at a specific time. And this night, this silent night, this special night, this was quite a night, wasn't it? But I'm not convinced, though, that it was a silent night. I've been present at two births in my life, and they were definitely not silent. I've still got the scars of Lorraine's fingernails that were digging into my hand as I did my best to support her during those two births. So no, when my girls were born, it was not a silent night. But as I think about that first Christmas night, there are so many things from that story that catch my attention. And I began to think, was it all calm? Because to me, it looks like that night that Jesus was born was a very, very busy night. While Mary is performing her childbirth at the stable, Luke tells us that nearby, or in the outskirts of Bethlehem, shepherds are keeping watch over their flock. Now, these shepherds would be used to standing watch all night, looking after the well-being of their sheep. And for them, it's probably just a normal night. And they are not ready for what appears to them in this particular night. In Luke 2 verse 8, it says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." From being wrapped up in their blankets, having a peaceful night, watching their sheep, making sure they were safe, suddenly these shepherds were thrown into a tsunami of fear and terror. They are petrified in fear by this sudden appearance of the angels. And I don't blame them. You know, if an angel appeared out of nowhere and started speaking to me in a booming voice, I think I would be pretty scared. I'd certainly be startled at the very least. But I don't blame the shepherds for feeling fearful at all. Because fear is a powerful emotion. And you know, fear drives so much of how we function and how we live in the world. I believe actually that many people are hurtful towards each other because of fear. I think that we react out of fear that someone might hurt us sometimes, and so we lash out first. So making sure that we get the first strike in so that we don't get hurt. Some of us might be afraid or fearful of being seen as weak. So we put a false front on and we give this almost like an arrogant appearance of ourselves. And we might be afraid that we're inferior to other people. So sometimes what fear does, it causes us to belittle other people to try and lift ourselves up. And our fear convinces us that no other points of view other than our own can be right. So we close off and refuse to listen. And fear pushes us inward. It keeps us guarded. We want to protect what we have. It causes us to withdraw from engaging with the world appropriately and openly. You know, sometimes we could say that it's much easier just to go about our daily routines, like the shepherds watching their sheep, expecting no encounters with anything that might push us into something new or challenging. But what if in the midst of our daily life, we, like the shepherds, encounter something divine? What if we come across the holy? The shepherds were terrified, but as we move to verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Straight away, the angel tackles the shepherd's fear. You know, isn't it so like God that in the midst of this life or world-changing event at the birth of Jesus, of God come to earth in human form, that he turns his attention towards his creation. He turns his attention to those that he loves and he takes away fear. Straight away, that's what the angels do. They take away the shepherd's fear. In the midst of this silent night, the angel appeared and made some noise. And to make it clear that this truly was the will of God, the angel told the shepherds to go and see this baby, the incarnation of God made flesh. They told them that this baby was God with us, that he is Emmanuel. And if that wasn't enough, then it got noisier. This silent night had turned into something really, really rousing. In verse 13 of Luke chapter 2, it goes on to say, "Then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, an angelic army, praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." I've never come across a multitude of the heavenly host, but I'm pretty sure that the heavenly host make quite a racket. But this isn't just noise. This isn't a chaotic rabble. This is a choir of angels delivering good news. You know, if fear is the basis of so many of our frailties and problems, then the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, is the answer to our fear, to our frailties and our problems. I think that one of the difficulties that face all of us in this world is that we've forgotten our true nature. We've forgotten the way that God created us to be. We've been overtaken by things such as fear and doubt and shame and anxiety and guilt. But here's the good news. The gospel, the whole point of Christmas, is that Christ comes into the world to remind us of our true nature. Jesus came to show us the face of God. You know, the shepherds saw that. They overcame their fear on that chaotic, not so silent night. They discovered that all nights are holy when they engage in following God's path of bringing grace to all people. And we are here tonight, this most holy night, encountering the divine. As we have come together and we have sang these Christmas carols, we have the opportunity to see the face of God. You can also encounter the divine beyond where you are right now. When we open our hearts to the needs of others, as we have been doing through our Love Falkirk ministry this past few weeks, when we do that, when we open our hearts to the needs of others, we encounter the divine, because we are being what God intended us to be and do. We see Jesus when we share our hope with those who have no hope. We meet the holy when we strive for justice and peace among all people, when we respect the dignity of every human being. So my encouragement to you this Christmas is, do not be afraid. Don't allow fear to overcome you. Instead, overcome your fear. Remember who God made you to be. You are made in God's image. You are created for the purpose of loving one another. You are not created to live in fear. Your identity, your purpose in God is to love others with abundance. And we are here on this earth to put our hope in God. This is good news. And because of what this baby went on to do, you don't need to wait for an angelic encounter like the shepherds experienced. All you have to do is speak to Jesus. Paul puts it like this in Romans 10. He says, Scriptures reassure us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same no matter what a person's religious background may be. The same God for all of us, act in the same incredibly generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls, help, God, gets help. You may or may not be having a silent night this Christmas Eve. You may be looking forward to the best Christmas ever. You may be surrounded with all the people that you want to be with for Christmas. But for some of you, you might be in a lonelier place this Christmas because you can't have the Christmas that you'd want. So whether you are in a silent night tonight, or you're in a chaotic night tonight, either way, in the calm or in the chaos, God is with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you, whether you're in the silence or whether you're in the chaos. So my encouragement to you tonight is this. Put aside fear. If you're lonely, call out on God. He'll hear you. He will comfort you. He will bring you hope. And if you're in the midst of a chaotic Christmas with many people around you and loads of noise, why don't you take a moment just to step aside from that for a minute and thank God for the blessing of family and friends, but also to acknowledge that God is with you even in your noise and your chaos. Have a great Christmas, everyone. May God bless you and bring you joy and peace on this holy night.